helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Just when you think things can't get any worse is usually when they do. Maybe it's because when things are bad, we are looking so hard for any solution that we don't stop to think if it's actually better or not. It seems the need to do something often leads to doing the wrong thing. Either that or we figure we'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping against hope that this time it will be different, but it rarely is. For example, after all the lies from Dr. Anthony Fauci, we find his successor to be just as bad, maybe even worse. Then there's the same White House that was just enjoined from pushing social media to censor for them, now limiting the reporters who receive press credentials. With all the lying, corruption, and the censorship, is it any wonder people don't trust those in government anymore? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We work to return the Constitution to its rightful owners, we the people of the United States. And I am so glad that you could join me today. You know, it's funny, I was going through my stack of articles. I mean, I have a whole list of articles that I collect over time to consider for these programs. And the saying came to me, you know, are we jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? The idea of jumping out of a bad situation into a worse one. Only it's not simply jumping out of the frying pan, is it? It's jumping out of the lying pan. Instead of jumping into a fire, we seem to just be jumping into a mire of lies, darn lies, and even more lies. I mean, take this for example. So we remember Dr. Fauci, the one that said, masks were useless until they were the only way to stop the spread, that, you know, kind of ignored all the stuff about the lack of testing and the virus and all of that. He retires on a nice fat pension. And who is his replacement? Well, it's Dr. Jean Mazzaro. She's from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, not that far from where I live at the moment. But what is her take now that she's in charge of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease? See, back in 2020, Dr. Mazzaro tweeted that there should be consequences for those that spread misinformation. Okay, now, I'm not saying people should be censored, but yes, if you continually lie, maybe there should be consequences. So what about the consequences for Dr. Mazzaro? Remember, it was Dr. Mazzaro who back in 2020 said that the mortality rate of COVID-19 was 10%. 10. There's never, nowhere, anywhere close has the death rate been 10. In fact, the estimated death rate is 0.034% of the, you know, those who were infected actually died. And by the way, there was one situation where they had, in February of 2020, they had a cruise ship. Remember the infamous, you know, the plague ship, the cruise ship, where, oh my God, there are all these people are getting sick. The death rate was 1%. So that seems to be misinformation, Dr. Mazzaro. Are there going to be consequences for you? I doubt it. The consequence so far has been you got a job where you could get to spread more of your lies. Then, of course, there was a tweet that Dr. Mazzaro said that we now have countrywide international-based data on the efficacy of wearing masks. The evidence is very persuasive that masks work in public to prevent community spread of transmission. There's just one tiny little problem. There is no such study. None whatsoever. There's not a single study that shows any respiratory disease being controlled by anything but like an N95 mask properly fitted and worn. So there's more in front. Are there going to be consequences for Dr. Mazzaro? No. Apparently the consequence is she gets promoted. Maybe it's the proof of the saying that people get promoted to their incompetency. Well, looks like we got another one lining up, right? Dr. Mazzaro seems to be taking the place of Dr. Fauci, and maybe she'll be different. Maybe she's learned. Maybe she's learned from those gross overestimates, that gross misleading information, and she's going to be a little bit more accurate in her requirements, in her data. Remember, she's also the one that said, she was one of the ones that was saying, you know, during the first Thanksgiving, you know, gotta be careful. You can have an asymptomatic spread, except there was no evidence of any asymptomatic spread of COVID-19. None. She worried, you know, going to gyms and bars and churches and all these were going to be super spreaders, and they weren't. And she's also one of the ones that supported the natural origins theory, again, with absolutely no evidence, no proof, no support. So really, are we getting any better? Are we jumping out of the frying pan of Dr. Fauci, or in this case, the lying pan of Dr. Fauci, into the mire of Dr. Mazzaro? Certainly seems like it. Now again, I'll give her if she's in the office, let's wait and see. Let's give her enough rope to tie herself up with and see. But based on what I've seen of her history, I'm not expecting great things from Dr. Mazzaro, except great lies, more lies, and misinformation. But I guess I shouldn't expect anything else. I mean, the American people have shown that they're more than happy to, well, do the same thing over and over again, to be lied to over and over again. I mean, what's the classic line? How can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving, yet we keep hiring them, and we act like it's their fault. We keep forgetting that we're the ones that hire them, and we're the ones that hired the people that hired Fauci, that hired Dr. Mazzaro, that we hired the ones that have refused to hold them accountable, that refused to impeach Dr. Fauci, that oversee the departments that should have dealt with the criminal activity and have not. We keep acting like there's some big shocking surprise that those in government, well, they never are held accountable, but we never hold accountable the people that should be doing it, our representatives. It all starts there. The buck stops ultimately with the American people, and we just don't want to admit it. Then there was another story that came out, and I'm still not quite sure where I land on this one. It seems that the White House created new rules for what they call the hard pass. This is the press pass. It's a card that allows you access to the briefing room, you know, where Karine Jean-Pierre gets up and lies in front of the press pretty much every working day of the year. And they've changed the rules, and they dropped almost a third of the White House reporters. Now, listen, the White House was built quite a long while ago. The briefing room, as I understand it, is not that long. I've never been in the briefing room, but as I understand it, it's not that large. There's not enough room. There's not a lot of room. And with the, it was designed for a time when, you know, there was a few newspapers and radio and television reporters, and that was it. With the proliferation of other media sources, other news sources, well, the number of people that want and probably, I don't want to say deserve, but, you know, you would expect to have some level of access. Well, it's grown. Now, the part of this that makes me curious is I'm looking for a breakdown of, well, who lost their press credentials? Because again, we've seen a habit in the last couple of administrations of, we'll just say, press secretaries and the president not calling on certain media outlets, representative of certain media outlets, possibly for, oh, I don't know, political or other reasons. And could that be what's going on here? Again, I'm not sure. It's one of those things. Maybe I've just been lied to so often enough, I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious that the rules were set up even if they weren't set up that way, that, well, the people who retained their passes are probably the ones that have been lobbing softball questions at Biden and Jean-Pierre and before her Psaki, then all along. I would expect them to have retained their passes. I'm probably guessing the ones that have lost their passes are the ones that have been asking hard questions, the ones who refuse to take the non-answers that so frequently come from Ms. Corinne Jean-Pierre. So looking at these, looking at the replacement for Dr. Fauci, looking at the recent, was it 4th of July, I think, was when the judge released the preliminary injunction preventing many departments, many members of the Biden administration, including Corinne Jean-Pierre, from attempting to persuade, encourage, cajole, bully social media into censoring information. Now they're limiting the number of people that have ready access to the White House press room and other members of the administration. I have to wonder, have we been jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire? And again, I'm not saying this is unique to this administration. This has been going on for pretty much for most of my lifetime. It seems like we keep looking for something, you know, Irmer Bombeck used to say, the grass is always greener because it's over the septic tank. And, you know, I think we keep looking for those greener pastures. We keep looking to get out of our problems in some quick and simple way. And you know, we've got to do something. And sadly, what we keep doing seems to be the wrong thing. If not obvious at the beginning, in the long term, well, it just seems to be the wrong thing. And then there are times there are those who will take the wrong thing and they'll double down on it. So we've talked about, you know, Fauci and his replacement. And of course, we have the reporters being pushed out. And let's not forget that a judge issued a preliminary injunction against much of the White House staff. In fact, several departments and members of the Biden administration to prevent them from engaging with social media for the purpose of pressuring, censoring, getting involved in the content. And this, by the way, I'm writing an article about it. Hopefully it'll be out in a few days. It deals with the Missouri and Louisiana lawsuits. And in the middle of this came a rather interesting piece of information. You see, even after the Twitter files, even after it became obvious and more that the federal government was violating the First Amendment by interfering with people. They keep referring freedom of the speech. It's actually freedom of the press more often because it's not necessarily people speaking. It's people posting content. There are some 20 attorneys general. Actually, I think it's 21. 21 attorneys general that have filed an amicus brief in the case, where they're basically saying, no, government needs the ability to censor information. Their introduction starts, since the advent of social media, government and private companies have often shared information and engaged in dialogue about the dangers that the spread of harmful content on social media platforms may pose to public health and safety. In this lawsuit, plaintiffs, Missouri and Louisiana, and several individuals seek to enjoin dozens of federal officials and agencies from engaging in such information sharing and dialogue with social media platforms. All right, let me stop for a second, because that's not true. They aren't saying about that you can't talk to them. They're saying you cannot coerce them. As I said, I just finished the research. I'm working on the article for the injunction. And it wasn't a question of, hey, you know, Facebook, this is night, you know, are you aware of this? A lot of it was, why are you not censoring? Why is it taking so long to censor this? If you don't do this, we're going to suspend Section 230 and get your pants suit off. So there's a little bit of that going on. But these attorneys general, by the way, led by the New York Attorney General, was it Letitia James? That's it. Letitia James. I had to think about that for a second. Believe it's right for the government to come in and not just discuss, I mean, discuss content that might be harmful, that might be considered harmful. Because again, they're not talking about lies. They get into dialogue about the information in the spread of harmful content on social media. Harmful to whom? Based on what? That may pose dangerous to public health and safety. According to whom? Because ladies, the attorneys general, I will tell you, most of the information on social media that has been a risk to public health and safety have been the content that those government actors have put out. The lies about the safety of the vaccine, the lies about the severity of COVID, the lies about the legality and effectiveness of mask mandates, shutdowns, all of it. And you know what's interesting is, now I haven't gone through the whole amicus brief, but what happened to the concept of free speech? The idea of, again, if what you are saying is defamatory, is slanderous, you can be sued. But that's not what they're talking about. And we're continuing down this road because we have jumped out of the lying pan of having to figure things out for ourselves and into the mire of expecting government to tell us how to live our lives, to tell us what we can and cannot say, what we can and can't, what others can and cannot say, what others can and cannot do. We never seem to want to apply it to ourselves. We always want to apply it to somebody else. We always want to impose our will, our opinions, our ideas on others. We seem less interested when others are trying to impose their will, their ideas on us. Now, I have to stop here and take a break. Before I go, you know, one of the best things you can do, since we were talking about public health, well, is to make sure your immune system is strong. Well, you can support your immune system while you're on the go, and it can be easy and simple. All you need is Healthy Cells Immune Boosting Nutrients. It's called Immune Super Boost. Comes a travel-ready gel pack. They're easy to use. I take them, I throw them in my bag when I travel. You can take them directly out of the pouch. It's just a gel, or you can mix it in a drink. They work wonderful. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order of Immune Super Boost or anything from Healthy Cell. To find out how, go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and look for the Healthy Cell card. Basically, you're going to go to HealthyCell.com and you're going to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, they give you 25% off your first order.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
How can you improve your odds of staying healthy? The answer is stay healthy with Cofix RX. Who's got time for a cold, strep, a flu, HRV, RSV, or COVID anyhow? Cofix has some great news. Besides being featured as a top 5 product in the drugstore news, we completed the protocol that you've heard Dr. McCullough talk about. Cofix RX is already famous for a powerful virus-hostile nasal solution, and now we have a throat spray too. Crush those nasty germs before they become a problem. With known antiviral support ingredients like povidone iodine, xylitol, and vitamin D3, you can feel a little safer. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order, you'll receive 25% off the entire purchase. Just click the Cofix RX banner on the America Out Loud website or store. Be sure to use promo code OUTLOUD25 at checkout. Don't forget, OUTLOUD25 at checkout.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein, so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Welcome back, Everyday America. You rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about jumping out of the frying pan and into the mire. You know, we're all familiar with the story of the boy who cried wolf, right? He lied so often, people stopped believing him. And, well, that's just as true with government and other social institutions as it is with that young boy in the story. After being lied to so often, they wonder why faith in public institutions is so low. And now comes out a poll from Monmouth University. And in this poll, they found that 3 in 10 Americans don't believe that our election system is fundamentally sound. 3 in 10, nearly one third. And by the way, this number is growing. See, we keep being told that, well, everything was fine. There was no problems. It was the most secure election ever. And then we get more and more stories about, well, we found all these uncounted ballots, and then we found these ballots that were flawed, but they got counted anyway. We see video of people stuffing ballot drop boxes, and these lies build up. And I think part of the problem is we're looking for the quick and simple way. We're looking for the overnight diet way to get rid of these problems, which leads us into more and more problems. Let's take elections as an example, right? I was around 2000. We had the infamous issue in Florida, and you had hanging chads and pregnant chads and all sorts of things. And they said, you know, we could do it this better. There's got to be a better way to deal with elections. Okay. In some ways, I agree. I think part of the problem we had in 2000 was we decided that we weren't going to follow the law because we didn't want to make people feel bad. Right? I'm drawn back from my memory, but if memory serves, in order for a vote to be counted in a punch card, the chad, that little piece in the center that got poked out, had to be detached. And a lot of people didn't bother. And well, we still want to count them because we don't want to. We were so worried about getting people's viewpoint. We stopped to ask the question, what about the laws about making sure we got the right ones? And in a rush to let's do something, many governments went to an electronic voting system, right? Because you don't have chads if you're not poking holes in paper. Okay, but they never stopped to consider what are the potential problems with electronic voting systems. Again, I spent 30 years in IT. Anything based on a computer can be hacked. Anything with a that's based on a computer can be hacked. And a lot of what I've seen from the voting systems, I haven't had a chance to look. I've been trying to get involved with my county election board because I want to see the equipment that they use. But I've dealt with other groups, and you know the fact that these voting machines, well, they can be connected to the internet. Sometimes they are connected to the internet. They are connected to outside networks, which opens them up to hacking. I don't believe there are people that are actually validating the code. The people in charge of the elections don't understand the code. So they have, you know, they trust other people to tell them about the code, but the problem you have is you got a baseball player and a football player, and they have different points of view, and they never bothered to talk about, well, I look at it this way because I run 10 yards and get tackled. Whereas the other guy says, I run 30 feet and slide into a bag. We don't bother to realize these are two different data sets that need to be looked at differently. And because of that, we saw the idea of electronic vote, it's great. It can be done quickly. You can get the data. You can get the results quicker because it's all added up by computer. But in order for it to be added up by computer, the computers must talk to each other. If they can talk, if they can send data out, data can probably come in. It takes a lot of skill to develop systems that are protected from that, and it's a constant ongoing thing. Anybody who's, you know, anybody who's had a task interrupted by a mandatory update for some virus scanning software knows what I'm talking about. It requires updates. We are stuck in this mire in many ways because, well, we saw the problem, and the lie was, this will fix it. I think we're also in this because of the lie, the ends justify the means. So if you have people, and again, I've seen them in both political parties. This is not a kick at the donkeys or a kick at the elephants. I've seen it from both. Granted, I see a lot more of it from the donkeys lately, but that's basically because they've been the ones that have been more successful in their get out the vote campaigns. But it's in an effort to deal with that, we simply jump out of the lies and into this mire of what are we going to do? And it keeps going on and on and gets, to me, just gets grosser and grosser to the point where we no longer even trust each other. We don't even, you know, I know plenty of people who honestly believe somebody from another party is evil. They would not allow their daughter to marry someone who from another party, along those lines. And because of that, we've become much more divided. We've become much more suspicious of people who hold different political ideas than we do. And of course, that is amplified by some of the ridiculous indictments against President Trump, some of the ridiculous charges against President Trump. And again, obviously, I love when they indict Trump for doing what many people have done for years beforehand. I mean, all the way back to, again, 2000, claiming that there was an illegitimate election, that the person who won the election isn't legitimate, or that during a contested state election where they're going through lawsuits and all that, that both sides don't appoint electors so that whoever wins will have a slate of electors set aside, ready to go. All of a sudden we're criminalizing this. It just makes this worse. It reminds me of the warning from George Washington at his farewell address. He warned about this spirit of party. He said, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. See, we were dealing with the lies, and now we've jumped out of that, and we're into this mire, this despotism, where party over everything. My way or the highway. And in to me, one of the most flagrant examples of the ends justify the means has to come from right here in Tennessee, just up the road from me, Nashville, Tennessee. I talked before about the three members of the Tennessee House that were ejected. They were expelled from the House because of their disorderly conduct. Now, under Tennessee law, disorderly conduct on the floor is grounds for dismissal, for expulsion from a house. What was their disorderly conduct? They grabbed a bullhorn on the floor of the house. There were four. One of them didn't get expelled. The vote for expelling didn't go up, but I believe that person that did not actually use the bullhorn. They used the bullhorn. They incited agitation among the visitors in the gallery. They prevented the house from doing business. That was disorderly conduct. And three of them were expelled. And the way the Tennessee Constitution is written, because of the amount of time until the next election, the county or whatever, usually it was a county board for that covered that area that representative covered could appoint temporarily someone to fill that seat until a special election. And not a terrible surprise, but all three of these of these people were immediately temporarily appointed to their old seats, as if that type of conduct was acceptable. Well, guess what? Two of those three, they won their seat back in a special election. Now, that tells me two things. See, I wasn't surprised that the politicians in the, was it, I think it was Memphis, and it was Shelby County and part of Nashville. The politicians would want someone from their own party, would push that person back in. Didn't terribly surprise me. It's just kind of the nature of party politics, right? The dissension, the spirit of revenge, the dissension of one faction over, it didn't surprise me. What saddened me is the people got a chance to vote. And in the minds of the majority of those people, not a slim majority either, that's proper conduct of a member of this, of the Tennessee House. Of the two, the two gentlemen, you have Justin Jones, who represented Nashville, and you had Justin Peterson. He's from Memphis area, Shelby County. So those are the two that were expelled. They won their seats back. Mr. Jones got 78%, and Mr. Pearson 94% of the vote. You're telling me more than three quarters of the people in Nashville, in that area covered by Mr. Jones, believes that grabbing a bullhorn and disrupting the session is a proper way to legislate. That almost everyone in the Memphis district covered by Mr. Pearson believes that grabbing a megaphone and shouting down and encouraging disruption in the gallery is the proper way to conduct legislative business. So that's what I mean by jumping into the mire. We went from the, now part of it was there were lies about what happened to these gentlemen and why they were removed and they were just expressing their ideas. And no, I've actually talked to people who were there. This was disorderly conduct. Now, the mire that leaves us in now, what have we just told every member of the Tennessee House? If you don't like what's going on, grab a megaphone, go to the podium and simply disrupt the proceedings, because even if you're expelled, well, your people will probably vote you back. That's what we've told them. The lie that the ends justify the means we are stuck in this mess. So the next time somebody doesn't like the way the piece of legislation is going, don't be surprised when someone stands up on the floor of the Tennessee House or the Tennessee Senate and simply disrupts the proceedings. And if it happens here in Tennessee, what's to prevent it from happening in Kentucky or Alabama or Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Delaware? Hey, how about Washington, D.C.? Is that the problem with this mire, with this lie that the proper way to that if you're not getting what you want, you act like a two-year-old, you throw a temper tantrum, you stamp your feet, you yell, you scream, you cause a disruption until you get your way. That leaves us a nation of two-year-olds. Adult two-year-olds, adult toddlers, without the self-control, without the grace, without the ability to have an intelligent conversation and to accept a compromise. That to me is a mess that I don't think we really want to live in. But that's the mire we got for jumping out of the lie. And by the way, the lie, the root of this lie was that the person that shot up the school in Nashville, the problem wasn't the person, the problem was the gun. By the way, that's not all. Now we've got the governor trying to form a special session, even though the leaders of both houses saying we're not voting for red flag laws. He's trying to push red flag. A Republican governor in a deep red state. Yes, we have our blue spots, but a deep red state is trying to push attacking law-abiding gun owners in Tennessee because a group is lying to him that says that's the way you fix this problem. It has never worked. It hasn't worked anywhere. It's been tried. Just look at Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, anywhere in California, actually. These things don't work. But we're pushing it because now we've got the mire of we're going to accept this lie. And if it takes disrupting the state house to do it here in Tennessee, apparently the people of Nashville and Memphis said that's what it takes. That's what we'll do. And if our representatives do that, we have their backs. How about the rest of us, the ones that say, no, that's not how things are done? Do we have the backs of our representatives that are ready to stand up and say, fine, you want to send us a bunch of two-year-olds, we'll put them in the nursery until they can act like adults? Now, I have to take another break. I hope you'll head over to the website, constitutionstudy.com. You can sign up for one of my mailing lists. You can ask a question. I'm always looking for good questions to answer. I try to answer them on Fridays, but I'm still looking. But you can find all about the Constitution Study and join the work that we're doing, including the Patriots Program. While you're at it, a good place to visit every day is AmericaOutloud.news. It's a great place to get the latest news and goings on from different points of view. But I'm going to ask you to do your part. Do like I do. Take the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the video, share them. See, that's how we secure the blessings of liberty, not by hiding what's going on, but by sharing it as adults.
We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. AmericaOutloud.news, delivering a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. Here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. Join us in the fight for liberty and justice for all. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're seeing how we've jumped out of the frying pan and into the mire. Now, we've covered a couple different topics. I want to finish up with a couple of random ideas here around this idea of jumping out of the frying pan into the mire. I'm reminded in this case of Justice Kagan of the saying, better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. So earlier this month, you know, of course, we've had this whole thing about the Congress is trying to get a set of ethic guidelines for the Supreme Court. And, you know, because, well, the Democrats are not happy that the court hasn't been opining their way. And in this back and forth, we have Justice Kagan, Justice Elena Kagan, who said, it just can't be that the court is the only instrument that is somehow not subject to checks and balances from anybody else. We're not imperial. Well, I'd like to ask Ms. Kagan to actually read the Constitution of the United States, because apparently she hasn't. Because if you look at Article 3, Section 1, it says the judges of both the Supreme and Inferior Courts shall hold their office during good behavior. Meaning if they behave badly, how do they lose their office? Well, they can be impeached. But nowhere in the Constitution is any one branch of government able to dictate to the other its operation. We have three branches. Now, they're not co-equal, like a lot of people say, but they are independent. That is, how could the courts provide a check and balance on Congress and the president if they are ruled by Congress or the president? Now, here's the interesting part. There is one spot where Congress can regulate the Supreme Court. We find it in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and councils, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. In all other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. So the only place that Congress can regulate has to deal with original jurisdiction for the Supreme Court. But that's it. That's what the Constitution is. And by the way, the Constitution supersedes what Mrs. Kagan thinks. It also supersedes what Congress comes up with. But since we've bought into the lie that we don't need to know the Constitution, that these are the nine smartest legal minds in the world, they obviously know what the Constitution says. That's a lie. We fall into this morass, this mire. Now, when it comes to the actual ethics standards, my point of view is simple. If Congress wants to publish a resolution that says, here are the standards that we believe are good behavior, and behavior other than this can lead to impeachment, I don't have a problem with that. That's not the same as saying this is legally binding against the Supreme Court. Now, there's another little twist in there that most people don't realize, is that with the exception of the Supreme Court, Congress establishes all the other federal courts. All the district courts, all the circuit courts, they were creations of Congress. Again, Article 3, Section 1, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. So when I'm looking at this saying, you know, here we have the lie about the smartest constitutional minds in the country, demonstrably wrong by pretty much most of their opinions in one form or another. But most of this mire we're in comes from the myth that the Constitution can be whatever the Supreme Court wants it to be. That is a, quote, living, breathing document, and that the Supreme Court defines what the Constitution says. Both of those, ladies and gentlemen, are lies. Now, the Constitution can be changed. We have a process for it. It's called Article 5. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the courts can simply make stuff up and say it's in the Constitution. And they've been doing it for decades. And of course, now the problem is they've been doing less of that. They've been actually following the Constitution, which has people that were dependent on the lie that the courts can do what the Constitution says they can't. They're not happy. But you see, there's another lie in there. The lie that what the court says is law. It is not. Article 1, Section 1. All legislative, all lawmaking power is vested in a Congress of the United States. or the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2, this Constitution and the laws of the United States made pursuant thereto, and the treaties and any treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. You know what you don't see there? Any decision by a court. Do you know who the ultimate arbiters of what the Constitution means is? The states. Why? Because the Constitution is a compact. It's a compact between the states. And under any version of contract law, the parties to the compact are the ones who decide what the compact means, ultimately. But again, we've got the lie that the states are subservient. They are subjects of the federal government. That is a lie. All these lies are leading to this nice deep mire of judicial rulings. And that the courts can do whatever they want, and that the courts get to decide what can be done, and ignoring the Constitution and putting their own preferences and opinions in place of the supreme law of the land. You want to see another example of out of the lying pan into the mire? Let's head to the Empire, the infamous Empire State, New York, where I was born and raised, sadly. Actually, New York used to be a great place, but that's... So there was this lie going around for a few years that the right thing to do for the state was to shut down the government schools, to force them all to shut down, send kids home, let them learn from them. It'll be fine. They'll do great. They're super spreaders. You can't let them in school. Of course, there was no evidence that the children were actually at any serious risk, for the most part, percentage wise. From COVID, or that they actually spread the disease to the adults. None whatsoever. But you see, that lies that we couldn't allow schools to be open because kids would spread COVID like wildfire has led to, let's face it, school test scores are abominable. The learning loss from the scamdemic has been atrocious, and New York's been, they've been pretty close. They've been, I don't want to say the leading of the pack, but they've been very much in that advanced learning loss. So what is the solution to this problem? Well, as with most politicians, the solution is cash. So now, the state of New York, which created this problem by shutting down schools much longer than any scientist thought they would needed to be, or any legitimate science said they needed to be, is now going to take $108 million of New York taxpayer money to try and fix the problem they created. Now, I'm glad I don't live in New York anymore. Granted, we never sent our daughter to public school because, well, government-run schools were atrocious. And boy, are we glad. And we left the Empire because of nonsense like this. See, I find it amazing that Governor Cuomo, the predecessor to Hochul, he turned New York into a prison state, literally a state penitentiary where he locked things down. He dictated what businesses were allowed to be open. He told people, you're essential and you're not, because your jobs aren't. The fact that they feed you and your family doesn't matter. And he didn't get fired for that. He got fired for a different scandal. And they brought in Hochul, who did the same thing, right? We're going to lock you down. We're going to control everything. The government rules you like a queen. And they elected her again. See the lie? See, we keep thinking that the problems are the fault of the politicians. We forget the basic fundamental fact is they are there because people voted for them. We are responsible for the state of our states and the state of our nation. And that lie that it's somebody else's fault, that we hold no responsibility, is a large reason I think we are in the mess, the mire that we are in. Now, I'm going to step out a little bit. I don't like to do predictions because I rarely have enough information. But based on our history, I'm predicting another lie is going to come out. Actually, it's a continuation of an existing lie. The lie that the federal government can protect you. See, there was a cyber attack against a hospital management system called Prospect Medical Holdings. They're based in Los Angeles, but they run hospitals and clinics in California, Texas, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania. And this hack, when they found out about the hack, the parent company, the holdings company, shut down their computers so that they would not data would not be compromised, and even worse, patient care wouldn't be compromised. Now, of course, this did lead to services in many of those hospitals being compromised. Emergency rooms were forced to close. Ambulances were diverted. There was a disruption. I'm not saying there wasn't one, but they were the holding company was trying to minimize the impact. Here's a lot that I expect. The federal government has to take over now, because only the federal government could protect people from cyber attacks. Yeah, the same federal government that's had not only cyber attack, but data loss incidents at what? The DOJ, the DOD, the State Department. Now, I'm pretty sure this is going to happen, because that's usually what does happen. People believe that somehow magically people get a federal paycheck and, well, they're perfect. They're pure as the wind-driven snow. They never make a mistake, and they're shocked to find out that government agencies lie to them, hide information, violate the law. They're shocked. Now, let's face it, you have a private entity, holding group, this holding company. They own many private hospitals. They run these hospitals. They had a technical issue, and they dealt with it. And because I've had hospitals as customers, and I understand a little bit of their data security requirements, I'm sure this is being looked into quite closely. And I'm sure this company will put in some security to deal with this type of attack because, well, let's face it, they don't want to lose the money of shutting down hospitals. See, when these emergency rooms shut down, they didn't take patients. These hospitals lost money. Money I'm sure they probably can't really afford to lose. But if you think that the federal government's going to do a better job of it, I just have three words for you. Affordable Care Act. Or how about this one? Veterans Affairs, the VA. Does anyone think those computer systems have worked really, really, really well? Gotten people a lot of great service, kind of like you get from the DMV. See, the lie that we can let somebody else take care of us is part of what leaves us in this mess. Now, listen, I deal with several doctors. My wife has a neurological condition. We deal with many, many doctors. And trust me, the way we handle patient data is not great. But after having to deal with the Affordable Care Act and all the other nonsense has put us through, let's just say I'm not ready to turn over to the federal government control of my medical records. I'm not sure I want to go to a hospital run by the federal government, because you know what? No matter how bad they screw things up, it seems rare that anybody in the federal government is actually fired for their poor performance. And that should truly scare anyone. So what are we looking at here? Lies have been around since Adam and Eve, right? How can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. We get into this mire when, and in my point of view, is when, A, we accept the lie. When we say it's okay for politicians to lie to us, we're not going to hold them accountable. We're going to keep voting for them, even though they're lying to us. They're lying to us. We know they're lying to us. They know we know they're lying to us. We know they know we know they're lying to us. And we allow this mire to deepen because we never deal with the problem. And these lies have become so commonplace, so rampant in our society is bad enough. But I think the worst part is the American people think it's somebody else's responsibility to deal with the lies for them. The idea of, caveat emptor, buyer beware. Do you want to deal with these? Has this company's hospitals damaged their reputation so you don't want to deal with them? Or has their reaction to the problem said, I've strengthened my resolve, my response to them? Do we trust? There's a reason why people have lost trust in the federal government, in our courts, in so much of our lives, because we've seen the outcome, the mire that comes from allowing these lies to persist in an attempt to get rid of one lie by jumping into a worse lie. Now, I'm not saying the solution is going to be easy or quick. That would be just another lie, more snake oil. But I'm telling you, you can make a difference by looking to yourself. Yes, we can use other people and other resources to help us. But when the ultimate decision, the final responsibility is in our own hands, well, then maybe we decide whether or not we want to jump out of that lying pan. And do we want to jump into a fire? Or maybe we want to find a place that isn't quite so uncomfortable. Because the lie that you have no choice is probably one of the worst that we deal with. You do have a choice. And there are ways of defending and asserting your rights. And that's what we try to do here at the Constitution Study. It's why we're trying to return the Constitution to we the people. Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is how we defend and assert our rights. Now, I hope you'll come back and join us here at the Constitution Study. We're here every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, that's okay. All of my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. Leave them a rating and review, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But as with everything else, I ask you to share them. See, it's by sharing this information, it's by sharing the possibilities that we all help to share the blessings of liberty.